Sometimes all we can do is wait on God. And our text today actually talks some about waiting. We're talking about the return of Jesus. And we're in this time between Jesus having come and given us this gift and waiting for his return. And so our parable today talks about that. So we're doing a sermon series that are favorite parables of your programming staff. And today happens to be the favorite parable of Lane Hovel, who does doing our finances in Ernest Bowama. And so we have a little video that we'll show in just a second about that. But let's look at the scripture that we're talking about. It comes from Matthew 25. It's verses 14 through 30. Laura talked about it, and it's the parable of the talents. So let me read this text to you, this story that Jesus tells us. For it is as if a man, going on a journey, summoned his slaves and entrusted his property to them. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, to each according to his ability. Then he went away. The one who had received the 5 talents went off at once and traded with them and made 5 more talents. In the same way, the one who had the 2 talents made 2 more talents. But the one who had received 1 talent went off and dug a hole in the ground and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of those slaves came and settled accounts with them. Then the one who had received the 5 talents came forward, bringing 5 more talents, saying, Master, you handed over to me 5 talents. See, I have made 5 more talents. His master said to him, Well done, good and trustworthy slave. You have been trustworthy in a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master. And the one with the 2 talents also came forward, saying, Master, you handed over to me 2 talents. See, I have made 2 more talents. His master said to him, Well done, good and trustworthy slave. You have been trustworthy in a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master. Then the one who had received the 1 talent also came forward, saying, Master, I knew that you were a harsh man, reaping where you did not sow, and gathering where you did not scatter seed. So I was afraid, and I went and hid your talent in the ground. Here you have what is yours. But his master replied, You wicked and lazy slave, you knew, did you, that I reap where I did not sow and gather where I did not scatter? Then you ought to have invested my money with the bankers, and on my return I would have received what was my own with interest. So take the talent from him and give it to the one with 10 talents. For to all those who have, more will be given, and they will have an abundance. But from those who have nothing, even what they have will be taken away. As for this worthless slave, throw him into the outer darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. I don't know what weeping and gnashing of teeth is, but it's not good. So let's play the video of Lane and Ernest, please. And they'll tell you why it's their favorite parable.
I think the parable of the talents, for me, it's about stewardship and about being faithful to what you have been given.
Because you use what you've been given, no matter what amount it is, and you can still increase it even if it's not as much as somebody else may have started with.
I think we often want something big, handle something big in regards to something like money, but the fewer or the little things that we have that have been given to us from God, if we take care of it, look after it, invest, you know, it can grow, and we are able to be in a better position to handle it or take care, good care of it.
Probably just because everybody's given different things, and so it just kind of shows that you're supposed to use what you have no matter what that is or how different it is from someone else.
I think what was interesting for me as I read was the third servant who gave a talent, was given a talent and hid it. He knew very well, according to the word, that his boss, his manager, was a shrewd man. He was a hard man. He would reap where he didn't sow. He knew this about this guy, but he never did anything about it. He just kept it and gave the same thing back to him.
Ditto.
Past, but there are five major discourses in the Gospel of Matthew. And it's basically where Jesus sits down and teaches, and he has these long, several chapters sometimes of teaching. The Sermon on the Mount is one of the ones that everybody thinks about. Well, this particular text comes from what they call the Olivet Discourse, because it happened on the Mount of Olives. And this particular one is called the Apocalyptic Discourse. Because in this discourse, Jesus is talking about his return. And it's encouraging us to be ready. He talks about this idea that nobody knows when he will return, including him, actually. Only the Father knows. And tells a couple of stories about being ready for Jesus' return at any time. And so chapters 24 and 25 make up this apocalyptic discourse. This discourse concludes with the judgment of the nations. And implicit in this entire discourse is the theme of Jesus returning and there being great joy among his followers and judgment. This parable of the talents, let me tell you what it is not. It is not a story about your talent, about skills that you have been given. It's not about your talent. The word talent actually is a sum of money. And in this particular case, a talent was about 15 years' wage. So this was not an insignificant sum of money that these slaves were entrusted with. I mean, one talent was 15 years. So the guy who was given five talents was given a very significant sum of money. That's true of the two talents, and even the one talent is a very significant sum of money. So our text begins with the master going on a journey. And he leaves his money behind to be managed by his slaves. And we've noted that he has given them different amounts, and the scripture says, according to their abilities. So clearly, the master understands sort of the capacity of these slaves as he is going out and is entrusting them with these significant sums of money. Let me point out that the Greek word here that is used to describe master is kurios, which throughout the New Testament is used to describe God and Jesus. Whenever you see one of the disciples saying, Lord, it's that word, kurios. And so just by the word, the use of this word, we are sort of being encouraged to understand that this is a story about Jesus. It's a story about God. It's not just a story about a master and his slaves, but he's talking about the master, the Lord of lords. In those days, a slave belonged totally to his master. was completely devoted to him or her or the family. And it was not at all unusual for a master to entrust his slaves with the running of his household or the managing of his money. It's interesting to note that a slave has nothing that was not given to him by his master or allowed by his master for him to have. So this guy goes away, and we're waiting for him to return. His slaves are waiting for him to return. Can you think of anyone that gave the world an amazing gift and then left? And we're all waiting for him to return? You see, this parable of the talents, it's a story about us. It's a story about you and me, who claim to be a follower of Jesus, who have given our entire lives over to Jesus as our Lord and our Master. I mean, the truth of it is that this is a story about us and our place in the world. Because everything that we have in our life has been given to us by God. Now, you may have gone out and you may have earned the money in this finite world that keeps score with dollars. But again, all of that is a gift from God. Your children, your family, all are a gift from God. And you are a caretaker. The truth of it is, you own nothing. Ownership is a concept of this finite world. When you leave this world, you will leave with exactly what you brought into it. And that is nothing. Nothing but what you have accomplished for the Lord Jesus Christ in your lifetime. This is a story about us being caretakers of that God has placed in your life. Now, I know you might own a nice car, and I might have a paid-for house, but everything that you own is yours at best for a lifetime or a part of a lifetime. You are a steward, a caretaker. Whether you admit it or not, everything that you have belongs to God. And God is just letting you use it. And this story is about how you use it. That's what this story is about. This parable is not some story from long, long ago. Our master is gone, but he will return. So my question for you today is, which servant are you? Because we live where we live, I can tell you most of you are not a one-talent servant. No matter how little you think God has entrusted you with, if you make more than about $35,000 a year, you are in the top 1% of all income earners in the world. I know that doesn't feel like much in our world, but materially, you have been blessed with far more than most of the world will accumulate in their lifetime. You can use what God has given you to help grow the kingdom of God. I'm not talking just your stuff, just material things. I'm talking about your whole person. All of you is to be used to help grow the kingdom of God. Your very gift of salvation has been given to you by your Lord and Master Jesus the Christ. And this whole apocalyptic discourse talks about a time when Jesus will return and we will all be judged. Just as in this parable, the master comes and he asks for a report. I gave you these 5 talents. I gave you these 2 talents. I gave you this 1 talent. Tell me what you did with it. What did you accomplish in my absence? We will all stand before Jesus as he sits in his judgment throne. What words will you hear? Will you hear, "Well done, my good and faithful servant"? Or will you hear, "You wicked and lazy servant"? What words will you hear on that day? But there's one more really important point that I want to point out to you about this story. Notice that the one that got the 1 talent, the one that went and buried his talent, the one who didn't do anything with what his master had given him, he had a really dim view of his master. The scripture says, "I know you as a harsh man. You reap where you did not sow, and that you gather where you did not plant." The first two, the 5-talent servant and the 2-talent servant, they went to work immediately working for their master. I would suggest that they viewed their master in a very different way. Someone whom they trusted. Someone whom they believed to be a good person, a good man. Matthew wants us to see this master as generous, grace-filled, and trusting. The lesson for us in this parable is that our view of God will affect how we respond to this gift that he has given to each one of us. How do you view God? What is your view of God? In the movie Bruce Almighty, Jim Carrey had received some of the powers of God, but prior to that, he was talking about God, and he described God as a mean kid with a magnifying glass burning ants. I would suggest if that's your view of God, then you're not going to do a very good job with the things that God has entrusted you with. If you view your master as a generous God, one of grace, one of trust, one of freedom, you will get about the business of growing his kingdom. Your view of God determines how you will respond to the gifts that God has placed in your life. I can promise you that our God is a generous and loving God who wants you to know his grace and his love and receive his blessings. That he is a God that walks with us and cries with us in the tragedies of our life. He is there with us, walking with us all the time. God has given you so much. You have freedom. Maybe you have children. Maybe even children that have grown to adults who have given you grandchildren. You are a caretaker of all that God has placed in your life. God has given you the saving grace of Jesus Christ, the gift of eternal life. What words will you hear when your master returns? Let us pray. Gracious and almighty God, help us to see you the way Matthew wants us to see you, as a generous and loving God that poured out his life for us, that we might be forgiven. Father, help us to take the gifts that you have placed in our lives, that you have made us stewards over, and use them for your glory. Help us, Father, to do everything that we can to grow your kingdom and to share the good news that our God is a generous and loving God. We pray this in Jesus' holy name. All God's children said, amen.